This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehis Wuhib, and welcome. Welcome to a special edition of Africa News Tonight. Today we'll cover elections in Ghana. We'll delve into the political battle South Africa's President Jacob Zuma is facing in his country, and an overview of how U.S. President-elect Donald Trump's transition is going on.
Well, Yehias, voters in Ghana, they're going to the polls December 7th to choose a president. More than 15 candidates have filed, but the top contenders are the incumbent president, John Dramani Mahama, and Nana Akufo-Addo. VOA reporter Peter Cloti is in Accra to report on the election, and he's with us now. Hello, Peter. Hi, Peter. Okay, it looks like we're having some technical problems getting Peter. So we will just continue on with the Gambia, talking about Gambia's elections. They're going to be presidential elections tomorrow, and incumbent leader Yahya Jammeh is seeking re-election. He's been in power for the last 22 years. Nearly 900,000 Gambians are eligible to cast ballots. A coalition of opposition parties is challenging Jammeh, but critics are already casting doubt on whether the vote will be free and fair.
And talking about elections, why don't we talk about the Trump transition? Kim, U.S. President-elect Donald Trump said today that he will take himself completely out of business operations at his company in order to focus on the presidency without any conflicts of interests. And the topic has been a key question since his election, with his company involved in properties in areas across the world and within the United States.
Yes, and Yehias, also, we do have standing by right now in South Africa is Delia Robertson. And this week, South African President Jacob Zuma survived an attempt to force him from office. The political battle took place at a meeting of the African National Congress, South Africa's ruling party. Reporter Delia Robertson has been following developments, and she's on the line with us right now from Johannesburg. Hello, Delia.
Yeah. Hello, Kim. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Good. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Delia, would you please recap just some of the events of the past few days and really what led up to them?
Well, as you mentioned, the president survived a call for him to step aside as leader of the country. This was happened at a regular meeting of the ANC's National Executive Committee meeting, but it did take the meeting by surprise. Several members of the committee were out of town attending a wedding, and they were rushed back to Pretoria to participate. And the meeting ran, you know, for an extra day. The discussion was so intense. But ultimately, the African National Congress decided by consensus in that meeting that Zuma would not step down at this time. The background to that, of course, is ongoing scandals that have, dogged him. The fact that he seems to be putting himself and his family and his friends ahead of the country in many of the decisions that he makes. Some of the things that he has done have been said by the Constitutional Court to be not in line with his duties as president. And so this has been an ongoing issue almost since he became president. In fact, there have been various scandals that have arisen over that period.
And this is since taking office in 2009. So, as you say, it's been going on for quite some time. But looking ahead, for instance, after this last meeting and fending off efforts this week to oust him, is Zuma's job, is it still in jeopardy?
I believe it is. He is scheduled to remain president until the next general election in 2019. Next year, the African National Congress will have an electoral conference in December. In the middle of the year, in preparation, they will have what they call a policy conference. And they've tacked onto that something they are calling a consultative conference, in which not only elected delegates from the various branches will attend, but also people from the veterans organizations and perhaps even representatives from the religions and so on, who have been, you know, approaching the ANC in recent times and saying something has got to be done. And so at the very least, his tenure as president will come up for discussion at that conference. But before that, it's possible that once again in Parliament, there will be a motion of no confidence put forward by one of the opposition parties. That has happened twice already this year. And, you know, so if people are not keeping quiet about their misgivings and their dissatisfactions with Mr. Zuma.
Yes, I understand. There have been calls from many opposition groups as well as the public for him to resign. So are people out, are they protesting? What are they actually doing?
There have been a number of protests this year, and just recently an organization was formed called Save South Africa, which is a cross-party organization. It's not political parties that are organizing it, but political parties are invited to be part of it. And it's basically has been started by, veteran members of the African National Congress who feel that the party has gone quite off track under Mr. Zuma's presidency. And so they've established this organization, and they will continue, I think, to press for change.
Now, we reported yesterday that President Zuma, he traveled to Havana for the funeral service of Fidel Castro, and he ordered the country's flags to be flown at half staff to mark the Cuban leader's passing. So is this a sign that maybe he is not that concerned about what is going on with him?
I think people are seeing it as he went early. I believe the funeral is only this weekend, and he wasn't scheduled to leave yesterday. So people are seeing it maybe as a cooling off period. Maybe if he's here, continued calls will come for his removal. There might be protests and so on. If he's not here, maybe things will calm down for a bit. I think that might have been the reasoning within the African National Congress.
I mean, if he was to resign, what would be the next step? Who would be ready to take his place?
Well, the next step would be that the African National Congress, he would have to tender his resignation to Parliament because, as you know, Kim, the President of South Africa is not elected in a public poll. In general elections, people vote for a party, and then the parties nominate their candidates for president in the parliament, and then he's appointed by parliament. And so he would have to tender his resignation for parliament. That is if he chose to step down or if the party compelled him to do that. And then another president would have to be elected by parliament. At this stage, I would suspect that the front runner is the deputy president, Cyril Ramaphosa, just because he's he's placed right there in that position, and legally, if anything happened to Mr. Zuma, were he to be in an accident or becoming incapacitated in any way, the role would automatically go by law to the deputy president. So he's well placed to take over from Zuma if Zuma were to step aside or asked by his party to step aside. And the same would happen as if a motion of no confidence was passed in Parliament.
So for now, even his African National Congress party, they are supporting him at this point.
The majority seem to be supporting him at this point, but there's a great deal of dissatisfaction within the party itself. And I think that this week what the people who were are disaffected and unhappy felt that maybe there was a chance that this call for him to resign could succeed within the party structures, and they didn't quite get the numbers they needed, I think.
And Delia, since his presidency has been riddled with so much scandal since he's been president since 2009, has he really been able to do anything as the president of South Africa for the people?
You know, I think we have some departments that have been doing very well. He has chosen some ministers well, and they've been doing their jobs well and carrying on with their work. But on the other hand, there are others that have not been performing as well. We have a real problem with waste of government money and irregular expenditure. The Auditor General's report just came out recently, and the amount of irregular expenditure has gone up by 80% in the last year. So it's there's a lot for people to be really concerned about. But that said, there is progress being made in some areas. It's just not uniform. It's somewhat spotty.
Well, Delia, thank you for that great insight into what is going on right now in South Africa. And that was reporter Delia Robertson. She was speaking with us live from Johannesburg. Yehias?
And now, Kim, let's go to Ghana. Voters in Ghana go to the polls December 7th to choose a president. More than 15 candidates have filed, but the top contenders are the incumbent president, John Dramani Mahama, and Nana Akufo-Addo. VOA reporter Peter Cloete is in Accra to report the election and is with us right now. Good evening, Peter.
Good evening. How are you, Yehias?
I am fine, Peter. I am sure you are aware of the campaign fatigue we experienced in the United States with the recent election. Is there a lot of campaigning going on where you are right now?
Oh, my goodness. It's been intense campaigning. And today, this evening, in the next few hours, there is going to be another round of presidential debate in the town hall format organized by one of the TV stations. This has been ongoing for some time now, but this is the first time where you have a majority of the presidential candidates, including John Dramani Mahama, the ruling party presidential candidate, and the current.
I think we lost Peter. We have technical difficulties. We will continue, resume as soon as Peter is around.
All right. Hi, this is Joe DiCapua. I'm just joining Africa News Tonight, a special edition looking at some of the election issues. We've brought in VOA's Ken Bredemeyer to our studio to talk about the ongoing Trump transition, which, as some of our listeners know, is not always going typically as smooth as some transitions go, or it's been at least rather controversial. Now, Ken, you've been following this. What is the latest you have on Donald Trump getting ready to assume the presidency?
He certainly is moving quickly to naming a whole variety of cabinet officials. He named his Treasury Secretary today, Steve Mnuchin, a Wall Street financier. He named another billionaire investor, Wilbur Ross, as Commerce Secretary. He's still debating who to name as Secretary of State. He had dinner last night with one of the key possibilities, Mitt Romney, who was the losing 2012 Republican presidential candidate. But the president-elect has other possibilities as well for that job and a whole slew of others.
Now, besides the big choices that he has to make, I understand there are thousands of other jobs that need to be filled in the transition. Is that correct?
That's certainly correct. Perhaps 4,000. We're talking about a lot of jobs here. Some of those will get filled before he takes office. Typically, the case is that presidents don't get around to naming all of them until they're in office. And the top appointees, the cabinet secretaries, have a large say in who works in their various agencies, whether it's the Commerce Department, the Treasury Department, the Department of State, which is of particular interest to countries overseas, and how the U.S. Presents itself.
Now, we, the media, of course, are trying to find out more about Donald Trump's choices and what's going on in the transition, but he's not talking to the media. He's still using Twitter. So how difficult is it for the media to try to find out what's going on?
Well, reporters obviously develop sources and everything, but the president-elect, during the lengthy campaign, often used Twitter. It cannot be ignored. He makes major pronouncements. Sometimes he ridicules somebody, but he also makes news, and today was no exception. He said early this morning that he's going to, in some way or other, remove himself from his own business empire, which is in 18 countries around the world. He controls branding rights on, say, hotels, resorts, office complexes, big towers in some cities. And the details of that are unclear. Ethics laws in the U.S. do not require him to divest all of his business interests, but he's going to be the wealthiest president ever. And he has a lot of contacts, business deals that he's cut over the years. And so there's a potential for conflicts of interest with almost a daily agenda of decisions he might make, whether it's military action overseas, whether it's decisions on which countries to visit or which world leaders to meet with. Now, the details of that divestiture of some sort, he hasn't revealed yet. Ethics officials would like that he would put all of his assets in a blind trust that he could no longer control. He has indicated in the past, and so we'll see if he follows through on that he wants to turn over his business empire and control of it to his three eldest children, Donald Jr., Eric, and Ivanka, all of whom are in their 30s, all of whom currently work for the Trump Organization.
That's not a blind trust, then.
That would not be a blind trust. He said that he would is working on legal documents, and that he would talk more about it on December the 15th. So whether it leaks out before then, what exactly he's going to do, we don't know. But there's certainly open questions about the scope and the nature of what he plans to do.
Now, would you explain to our listeners how the process works? Mr. Trump, of course, is nominating a lot of these officials, but they don't automatically get the job. What happens?
That's true. The cabinet officials, and there's quite a few of them, more than a dozen, they have to get confirmed by the U.S. Senate. And there will be hearings on all of these nominations. Some are likely to sail through pretty quickly. There is a Republican majority that controls the Senate, a narrow one. And, of course, the president-elect is a Republican, and a lot of his colleagues in the Senate, newfound colleagues, will want to push his nominees through. Some are more controversial than others, and lots of questions will be asked at these hearings, and then votes will be held.
Now, of course, you followed the campaign, and we all did here in the studio and many people around the world, and it was a pretty harsh campaign. Even Republican candidates said some very harsh things about Donald Trump, including Mitt Romney, who's being considered as Secretary of State. I guess what some people may be wondering is, how do Donald Trump's initial critics, who said some pretty definite things about him, that he was not fit for president, et cetera, then go and talk to him about getting a job? Is this just politics or what?
Well, partly it is. But winning candidacies have a way of smoothing over the differences of the past. After all, if you'll recall, Barack Obama named his chief adversary for the 2008 presidential nomination, Hillary Clinton, as his Secretary of State. And she was for 4 years and then, of course, lost the race to Donald Trump. When politicians get together after Trump has won, he's now the president-elect, there's a certain appeal to want to work for the new president, at least in some cases. Others, of course, want to have nothing to do with him, and that life goes on. But Mitt Romney said some very nice things about Trump last night. They have now met twice. Whether the president-elect names him as the country's top diplomat, I suppose we'll know within days. But he's certainly under consideration yet.
Yeah, I'm sure you've been following politics forever, and have you ever seen an election like this?
No, this one was one for the ages, if you will. The outcome alone was stunning because all the polling showed that Hillary Clinton was narrowly ahead, and actually she's winning the popular vote yet and will come out ahead.
By about 2 million, they say.
Right? More than that, and a little bit. And Donald Trump is elected because of the U.S. system of using the Electoral College, where you got to win individual states to come out ahead.
And just a final question. We're hearing about these recounts in three so-called swing states. Will that really matter? Does anyone really think that's going to change the results?
No. Donald Trump is almost like about 100% likely to be the next U.S. president. But these recounts will perhaps change a few votes here and there, but the outcome is not expected to change.
Very good. Thank you very, very much. That was VOA's Ken Bredemeier.
I'd like to jump in and just ask a quick question. Considering the nominations and the way it's been going so far, is Trump pretty much on track in comparison to the other presidents who were nominating? You think he's feeling media pressure to hurry up and do it? Or because I know with President Obama, or President Clinton rather, took him at least a couple of months before he actually started naming people. So
I don't know whether Donald Trump feels any particular pressure, but he's actually naming cabinet officials quite a bit sooner than has been done in previous changeovers to new presidential administrations. He's by no means completed his cabinet yet, but he certainly filled quite a few positions in the last, it's 3 weeks and a day now since the election.
And also he seems to be still really distracted by Hillary Clinton winning the popular vote. Like, I think deep down he wishes he'd rather won that or at least both. He's very, very disturbed by that.
He certainly seems to be annoyed by it and has sent out a number of tweets, which he is inclined to do, complaining about her.
But should he be concerned with that and just be focused on?
A lot of people think that he shouldn't be concerned, but we're fast finding out that the president-elect, in a way, is a lot like candidate Trump. He gets up in the morning and he sends out whatever's on his mind.
And I guess we'll probably look forward to him doing that for the rest of his presidency.
That's the next question come January 20th when he actually is president, whether he continues to do that kind of thing. And he very well could.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's VOA's Ken Bredemeier. And he joined us today on Africa News Tonight, as well as our managing editor, Joe DiCapua. Thank you both.
Good to be here.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiz Wahib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Thanks for choosing the Voice of America.